Hey everybody, it's Brad here. Welcome to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report call for December 2019. And I'm sitting here in South Africa in my beautiful home with my beloved spouse, Leslie, after so long apart. We were apart for 7 months, and that's the longest we've ever been apart, actually. And so we're both really delighted to be together and now to be here with you all. And I kind of feel like you're here in our living room with us. we've been looking forward to the call all day. It's evening here. The sun has set. And here in the Southern Hemisphere, we are approaching the longest day of the year. And I know the vast majority of everybody on the call is from the Northern Hemisphere. So you're approaching the shortest day of the year, and you've got very cold weather, and we've been jumping in and out of the pool all day. It's been very hot here in the tropics, and we just have been thinking about you very much, and we're so happy when we get to have these calls, and we look forward to it very much. So this is a special one. It feels like the call today is very special because the holidays are coming up, and when I was tuning in on what to talk about today, it felt like that was really important to talk about the holidays and to talk about what that means and the sacred quality of this time of year. So we'll be talking about that today a little bit. And I also, just before we get started, I just wanted to give a little personal update. Leslie and I have been having so much fun. It seems like every day we're so joyful and treasuring every precious moment that we share together because we had so much time apart. So we've just been living in this bubble of gratitude and joy and so much light. And we send it to you all. I hope you can feel it. Leslie's, I'm looking at her right now, and she's just luminous, and she's going to be beaming Shakti to everybody today, as you all know. And as I speak, as most of you know, we've changed the format in the last few years, where I do the speaking and Leslie transmits the Shakti, and she's chosen to go into a silent place. So she's not speaking publicly anymore. And I wanted to give a little personal update about our time together here. We, when we're here in South Africa, we have these amazing, like, if you've never been here, I just have to tell you a little bit about it before we start our call today. It's magic. There's so much magic that happens here. And I'm sure if you've been with Core Light for any length of time, you've seen the pictures of us with the zebras. And so we have these magic animal experiences here in South Africa. We have these wild zebras in our reserve, and they come so close to the house, and they'll actually allow you to eat carrots out of your hand. They'll allow you to feed them carrots out of your hand. You're not eating the carrots. They're eating the carrots. And it's sort of this magic thing. Like we look at this, these incredible beings who remind us of unicorns. They've got that kind of magic unicorn energy. And they're just, we can walk amongst them. They're not tame, but they're tame enough that they will come close and allow you to be with them. And we also, last week, a week and a half ago, I went to the White Lion Trust that our friends Linda Tucker and Jason Turner run. It's just about an hour from here or less. And they invited me to teach at the White Lion Leadership Academy, which happens this time of year annually. And the last few years, I've been a teacher there for their academy, and it's just this magic experience again to go and be with these sacred white lions, these beings who have only ever appeared in the wild in one place on earth, and it's right here in the place called Timbavati, which means the lions that came down from the stars. That's what it means in the local language. So I mean, talk about magic, right? It truly is magic. They're not albinos. I think most of you know. I'm not going to bore you with the details because most of you know. But if you're interested in learning we about the white lions, we support their project because they're reintroducing them into the wild there. They were all taken out and used in zoos and circuses and hunting camps. And so our friends, Jason and Linda, are returning them to the wild. You can go to White Lions, plural, whitelions.org to see their site. And then the other magic thing that happens here is we have this humanitarian arm called Seeds of Light, which most of you know about. Many of you support Seeds of Light with donations every month. And we just, in between the last call, last November's call and this call, we had our Christmas celebration for the orphans and vulnerable children there. It was on Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving in the U.S. It was on that Thursday, the last Thursday of November. And it was another magic event. We had 250 or so children come and get a hot meal, and they each got a Santa's shoebox gift with lots of toys and supplies, toiletries and school supplies and things in it, and clothes and what have you. And we sang and we danced, and there was just such an outpouring of love. And you'll see, we're going to be sending pictures. So I don't know if you're checking your emails, but we've had so much fun in November and December sending you all little updates. If you haven't had a chance, I encourage you, please go back and look at your emails once a week for all of November and December. We're sending updates about our year and our lives here in Africa, and also, you know, what Leslie's up to here in Africa, and also the trip that I took, the 7-month trip, traveling and teaching around Europe and the U.S., and we've just had so much fun putting them together. So I really hope you're enjoying them as much as we are. We just love getting the pictures together and the stories together. And so anyway, there's more coming. There's one a week coming through the end of the year as well. One came out today, actually, just before this call. So if you haven't had a chance, go check your emails. And anyway, thank you for indulging me in my little personal update here. We're just, Leslie and I are so joyful about our lives here. And when we're together, it's doubly joyful that we get to enjoy it together. And you're all invited to come visit. There's a retreat here in March. You can come if you want. And I know many of you have been here already, so you're with us in spirit. And lastly, the last thing, we're very excited. Leslie's daughter, Lisa, and our grandson, Benjamin, who's 11 years old, and they live in Portland, Oregon, they're coming to visit us for the first time. It's Benjamin's first trip to Africa, and Lisa's been here before. She was born here. But they're coming for a 10-day visit over the holidays. So we're all a Twitter here. We're in preparation mode. So it's going to be a very joyful time for us here, and I wanted to share that with you. So the other thing, I guess, I just wanted to, before we really start our call, I have such a feeling of gratitude in my heart, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of you. Almost everybody on this call, I know I haven't looked at all the names on the list, but I heard many of your voices as you phoned in, and I love to hear your voices and your sharing at the end of the call. We have time at the end of the call if you're new for questions and sharing, so please do feel free to share or ask a question at the end of the call. And I have this such a feeling of gratitude for your participation in what we do. Especially this trip that I took traveling around. And I thank you all for showing up to be part of this work that we do, for creating the field of love that we create for the planet and the Core Light community. That's what we're all about, is creating a field of love and helping the planet to transform through love. And the fact that you show up on these calls, and even if you're listening to the call recording later, you're part of this field. And I just As I said, I feel so grateful. So I thank you for showing up. And I want to thank you to all of you who have supported Core Light and or Seeds of Light over the past year with your donations. We're so grateful. We really rely on your donations to keep going. So thank you. And thank you also to, I forgot to say, thank you to my hosts and my organizers, the people who invited me to come and teach in your area, in Europe and the U.S. And I'm just beyond delighted to be able to do this work. I mean, imagine to get to go around and talk about love all the time and to live in a field of love. It's beyond delightful. And so Leslie and I are here. We've been holding a field of love ever since I arrived together three weeks ago. And especially today, we've been generating this field of love. And I hope you can feel it. We're sending it to you, and it'll be sent throughout the call. So I'm just, like I said, I'm in my heart with gratitude overflowing. And I want to just also remind everybody, as I did on the last call, that this is the end of the year. It's the time at the end of the year where we have our, what we call our matching gift campaign. And our dear friend and Core Light's benefactor, Joan Porter, is matching all donations. And she's matching any pledges. So if you're pledging money for next year, that will be doubled. And if you're donating money, that will be doubled as long as we receive your pledge or your donation before December 31st. So that's just a reminder. If most of you are already doing that and you know, so I'm not going to belabor the point. But if you haven't had a chance to, please consider Core Light in your end of year giving. We just really, we thrive on donations. That's how we keep going and doing what we do. So again, deep gratitude to you all for your generosity, for your love and support. Before we start our call, a couple things. Leslie gave me a message today. I transcribed a message from Leslie that I'm going to read to you. And also, I just wanted to highlight a few upcoming events. On December 29th, Barbara, our beloved Barbara, is going to be leading a guided meditation at 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific time. Again, that's Sunday, December 29th, and it's called Calling All Angels. We sent an email a little while ago. There'll be another one that goes out on December 28th, the day before, to remind you. It's also posted on our events page. Barbara, would you like to say a few words about Calling All Angels?
Sure, I would love to, Brad. Hello, everyone. This has been a really profound time, and I personally have been downloaded for the past couple of months, and I'm imagining that many of you have been too, and this Calling All Angels really came through guidance very, very clearly. And we are moving beyond this 20-year time period of going very deep into shadow and really working very diligently at clearing our shadow. And as we are now entering into 2020, and it's really so hard to imagine that we're at this 2020 place, but it is going to be an opportunity to move beyond 3D into 5D, into a very exquisitely beautiful, heart-centered space. And Mother Earth is evolving, as are we. And so I have been downloaded with this exquisitely beautiful guided meditation to move us all or carry us all into this fifth dimensional consciousness. Many years ago, gosh, I don't know when, but Nostradamus predicted this time that he called the golden age of 2,000 years of peace. And the prediction prior to that 2,000 years of peace was what we are in and have been in for a while, this excessively chaotic time. So I would love for all of us, because this becomes now more of a power of one, a unified consciousness that we are moving into through our hearts. And so I would love for us all to come together and manifest together and co-create a new heaven on earth. So I'm excited to have this time together with all of you and hope you will join. If you're not able to for whatever reason, the call will be recorded and you'll get to listen to it another time if this is something that calls to you. So I'm very, very deeply grateful to you, Brad, and to Leslie, and to all of Core Light, and to each and every one of you. I feel like I know so, so many of you on this call, and my heart is full of deep gratitude and love for each and every one of you. So I hope you'll join us during these most auspicious times. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. No, that's great. I can't wait. I can feel it's going to be a really special way to ring in the new year. It's going to be a great opportunity for us to all gather again as we close out on 2019 and as we prepare to ring in the new year. So if you're interested in attending, the details we sent by email. It's the same as when you call in for this call. It's going to be the same information. You know, you can access the call by using the same details as this call. If you're on our email list, you will get a reminder on December 28th as to how to call in. It's also it's posted on our website, but it doesn't have the call-in information. You have to be on our email list to get the call-in information. So if you need help with that, you can also contact Barbara or contact our office, info@corelight.org. And Barbara is courses@corelight.org. So thank you, Barbara. We're really excited, and I'm deeply grateful
that you're
offering that.
Me too, Brad. Thanks so much. Look forward to being with all of you.
Yeah, wonderful. And then also, just so you know, Barbara and I have scheduled the next few months' spiritual weather report calls and her squares calls that she does for students and graduates, people who are enrolled in Spiritual Warrior and the Enhanced Self Discovery course. So the next spiritual weather report call is January 12th. And the next squares call, the processing call, is January 26th. And if you don't need to write it down, it's on our website, and you'll get an email reminder, so no worries. But if you want to see the upcoming few months, we've posted them. We haven't sent out an email about all 4 months yet, but you can get those on our website. And then just two more quick ones. I wanted to remind you about the one we announced last month. There's a course coming up that I highly, highly, highly recommend. It's called Earth Shakti Rising, Journey to the Ecological Self. And it's a 7-session virtual course with longtime Core Lighter, minister, and mentor Kathy Stanley, who's a dear friend and a superb teacher. She has taught for Sophia University. The course is going to start on Saturday, February 1st. And it's going to go for 7 sessions every Saturday, starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And it's really timely. This is the information that we all need. And Kathy's going to present a lot of exercises and a lot of really hands-on approaches to connecting with the earth. And she'll talk a lot more about this. We're going to invite her to speak about it again in January. So, and she spoke about it last month as well. So you can get that recording as well if you want to hear what she said last month. And so thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much for offering that through Core Light. We're deeply, deeply grateful. I personally can't wait for it. I know it's going to be very powerful. And then lastly, I'm leading a group to Greece in October. It's October 14th through 25th. And it's called Awaken Your Inner Oracle. And we're going to go to some of the most ancient and sacred oracular sites, places where the priestesses prophesied. The early bird discount ends on January 12th. So if you want to get $500 off the price, you need to sign up by January 12th. And we will be releasing the rooms on January 13th. So unfortunately, after the 13th, we can't guarantee there'll be any spaces left because we have to let the rooms go. So consider it over the holidays. If you feel you have a divine invitation to be in Greece with me, I really look forward to seeing you there. There's also, like I said, a South Africa retreat in March, and all the information about all of these is on our website at corelight.org. Okay, so I want to, without further ado, I want to read you Leslie's message that she dictated to me today. It's just so beautiful. So here goes. The stillness of your soul lies in the central meridian of the body, the Sushumna, which is the core of enlightenment within each one of us. During the holidays, take time to sit quietly in meditation at least once a day and just be. Being is your universal beauty. It's attuning to what is all around you. There's no beginning and no end to it. We are that eternality. This is life in the higher dimensions, and we are all being invited there now more than ever. This consciousness lives inside us all the time, even amidst the distractions of life, amidst the dance of duality. When you attune to your core, you attune to the peace that passes all understanding. This is pure joy. It's my hope and my prayer and my understanding that when enough of us are living in this consciousness, there will be a tipping point, and Earth will become a fourth and fifth dimensional planet. I wish you all upliftment, joy, and many blessings during this very special time of year. With all my love, Leslie. Thank you, Leslie. So take that in. There's a transmission coming with that. So I invite you to take that in. And as you know, we invite you to be meditative throughout the call, even when we're talking, whether we're doing our guided meditation, which we're about to do, or whether we're talking. And just go yin and passive and receive Leslie's transmission that she's sending to all of us. It's a beautiful, beautiful transmission of light here at the bottom end of the Nilotic Meridian here in Africa. And again, as you know, whether you're with us live today or whether you're listening to the recording, it doesn't matter. We are all part of the field and we're all connected. And as we all know, time and space really don't exist except in the third dimension. So we invite you to tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space. And that's where we're all connected in heart and in love and in unity consciousness. So I invite you now, if you're multitasking, which I know most of us tend to need to do, I invite you to stop multitasking for a few minutes and just join us for a guided meditation. Get comfortable wherever you are, whether you're sitting in a chair, reclining, lying on the floor. Just close your eyes. Keep your spine as straight as you possibly can while remaining relaxed. And just let go. And take a few long, slow, deep breaths. Breathing in the light and breathing out any shadow. Breathing in all that life force, golden energy that surrounds you. Breathing it right into your cells. And breathing out any tension you may be feeling. Long, slow, deep breaths down into the diaphragm, into the bottom of your lungs, where there's stale air, allow the new fresh air to replace it and breathe out that old stale air. Long, slow, and deep, which automatically relaxes the body. The long, slow, deep breathing triggers the vagus nerve, which runs the length of the body from down the spine, essentially. And the breathing creates the relaxation through the vagus nerve. Breathing in the present moment. Breathing out any worries about past or future. Any issues that you might be concerned about, just let them go for right now. Give yourself the gift right now of just letting all of that go and just be with yourself. These few moments are your gift to yourself for your spiritual journey. Continue your breathing and just relax. Remembering that relaxation is so important, we forget this, and relaxation is the foundation of the enlightenment of our consciousness. Without it, we don't have awakening. And in our chaotic and stressful world, we often put our relaxation last. Our meditations are last sometimes. So this is your opportunity right now. Make it the most important thing to just let go. Continuing your breathing. And as you continue to breathe, I invite you to visualize and feel a warm, viscous liquid like honey pouring over the top of your head, relaxing all the muscles that it touches, pouring over your scalp, relaxing all the muscles of your head, your forehead, pouring over your eyebrows, relaxing your eyeballs, all the tiny little muscles around your eyes. There's so many of them. We hold tension there, a lot of tension there. So just let it go. Let your eyeballs fall back into their sockets. Just letting go. Relaxing your cheeks, your nose, your mouth, your ears, all the muscles of your face, especially the back of the tongue and the jaw. Deeply, deeply letting go. Remembering your breathing. Relaxing the neck and the shoulders, the back of the head. Relaxing your upper arms, lower arms, wrists, hands, fingers. Your torso. Your chest, upper back, your abdomen, lower back, completely letting go, just relaxing these muscles completely as this honey pours over you. Relaxing your pelvis. The psoas muscles are they hold a lot of tension, so especially the psoas muscles, which run down either side of your pelvis, along the hips, your buttocks, relaxing your genitals, relaxing your upper legs, thighs and hamstrings, your knees, lower legs, the shins and calves, your ankles, feet, and toes. Deeply, deeply relaxing and letting go. Remembering your breathing, breathing in the light, breathing out any tension. And now I'll be quiet for a few moments and let's all just scan our bodies one more time from head to toes, relaxing any muscles where we still might be holding on to some tension. And now let's put our attention on the root chakra, the place at the base of the spine between the anus and the genitals. Just gently put your attention there and feel how it naturally opens. The root chakra naturally opens just by putting your attention there. Just allow that area of the body to relax completely and it will open. And drop your grounding cord from there down into the earth, all the way down to the center of the earth, connecting it with the core of the earth, wrapping it around the iron crystal that's at the center of the earth, and feeling that beautiful anchoring and grounding that happens when we connect to our Mother Earth. Feel gravity pulling you down towards her and feel how she supports you from beneath. Just relax and let go into her. Put your attention where your feet or your buttocks or legs are touching the chair or the floor. And just be with that feeling of connection to Mother Earth through the chair and the floor. And relax into her. Just go in like a little baby and relax into the arms of our Mother Earth. She's cradling you like a little baby, and you can just let go. Just relax completely, knowing that she's there to support you. You can trust her completely. You're completely safe in her arms. And bring that beautiful earth energy up into your body through the soles of your feet. Bring it up through your legs. And let's move the energy all the way up the central core of the body. The Sushumna is the Sanskrit name for it. And bringing the earth energy up, all the way up, past each chakra up to the crown, the top of the head, and up and out the crown, sending the energy up the Sushumna, which goes out the top of the head, up into the celestial realms, connecting with Father Sky, connecting with the heavens. And feel that beautiful connection between heaven and earth and how your body is the connecting point for both. Just hang suspended from this invisible string at the top of the head. Just allow yourself to hang weightless, completely letting go, completely free. As you hang there, allow the crown to open. It's like a thousand-petaled lotus on the top of the head. Feel it opening up, petal by petal, unfurling, connecting you with the heavenly realms. And this is okay if you don't feel the subtle energies. You can set the intention that you'd like to, and one day it will happen. Maybe today. But meanwhile, all you need to do is, if you're not sure how, is just to will it, to use your will. Just say to your higher self that you want to feel this and you want your crown to open, and it will happen, even if you can't feel it. So just allow yourself to relax into this completely, hanging from that string, hanging like from a cable. The Shushumna is like a cable that goes up into the heavens, and just feel how you're hanging from that, like a Christmas ornament on the tree. Just hanging. You're so relaxed. You're so at peace. You're so dissolved that it's as though a breeze could blow right through you. Just feel that. Feel how your body becomes almost transparent when you relax completely, as though the spaces between the molecules are vast, and you become much more aware of the space than the matter, the form of the body. Become aware of your vastness, your vast inner space. And that's the truth of who we are, because this material world, matter is a very small percentage of the space. Most of the space is empty, or apparently empty. It's just energy. Life force. What is that space, actually? It's actually love. Feel that. Feel that space in your body that's opening up. The space, the vast space between the molecules, between the cells. Feel how it opens up, and feel how that energy there is luminous, and it's full of love. It is love. Feel the love. Feel the love that's inside you. Feel this vastness. Just allow this dissolving to continue. Feel how peaceful it is to let go. Just allow the breeze to blow right through you. as though nobody were there. Feel and visualize all the matter that's inside you, the cells, every cell, trillions of cells, as golden white light. And feel the vast space within you also as golden white light. And that's all you're made of, is this beautiful golden white light, which is actually love. And so as we all hold this beautiful space together, this vast, eternal self that we are, as we all relax into this, I'm just going to say a little prayer and an invocation for our call today. We call on the Great Spirit. We call on Divine Mother, Father God, the self that we all are. We call on all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. All the angels and archangels, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, the lineage masters, the gods and goddesses, all these beings who have our highest purpose in mind, our soul's highest purposes. We invite you into this call, and we ask that you please surround us in a cocoon of beautiful golden white light. Bring in healing energy, bring in love, and fill us up. Bring us into wholeness and healing, and guide our conversation into the highest love and the highest wisdom, so that we each may fulfill our soul's highest purpose. We offer such deep gratitude to be here together today, to share this time, to share our love, and to be in these bodies, these beautiful, beautiful bodies, for a few short years on this beautiful, fragile blue planet called Earth. How deeply grateful we are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now when you feel ready, if you want to, you can slowly bring your attention back into the room, back into your body. Slowly wiggle your fingers and toes. When you feel ready, open your eyes. Okay, so welcome again, everybody. Welcome to our Spiritual Weather Report call. If you missed the first little bit, Leslie and I are here in South Africa. We're so happy to be with you. And Leslie's just giving you all a little pranam here. I can feel this beautiful Shakti energy coming from Leslie today to all of us. So I just want to check in about a few topics, and then we'll open up the call to sharing and questions. And I want to talk about the holidays today because it's such an important time of year, and there's so much to say about it. But before we go there, I just also want to acknowledge that the intensity that we always feel. It seems like the intensity has been with us for so long. How many years have I been talking about intensity? And it continues to accelerate. And how many years did Leslie talk about intensity? So the intensity continues to accelerate. And my guess is all of us on the call, or most of us on the call, can feel that. And if we know how to work with it, it can be our great opportunity to ascend in consciousness into the higher dimensions. And on the other hand, if we are not careful, if we are not using our spiritual tools, if we're not in our what we call our witness, it's easy to slip into the slipstream of mass consciousness. And that consciousness, if you're attuned to it, if you can feel it, it's just loaded with anger and fear. And I would say right now, it feels to me like one of the main things is uncertainty. It's like most people are feeling this sense of uncertainty around the world. You know, there's such a swing of the pendulum towards, how would we describe this? Towards rigidity, towards fear, towards control, towards conservatism, towards inhumane treatment of nature and human beings and animals. It's this swing of the pendulum in that direction, and it causes this anxiety in the collective. We're all at some level aware of it. And there's a certain sense of instability that comes from it, and a certain amount of chaos. It's a chaotic time, we could say. It's a time when there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it feels to me, and I know many, many seers, and most of you are feeling it too, that there it feels as though nobody really knows what the heck is going on. There are a lot of theories. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of media spin, you name it. It's like nobody really knows actually what's going on. Even the people who may so-called be in charge. So it really, when that kind of thing is going on, it's very difficult to ground. It's very difficult to stabilize. It's very, thank you, Leslie said stabilize, and that's just what I was about to say. It's chaos. It's what I would say, a lot of shouting going on. And when we're in this morass, when we're in this sense of what I'm describing here, all these emotional states and the downward spiral, as we could call it, and the swirling chaos, it especially pushes us into a sense of fear and worry. And when we're living, or when we're at least even feeling fear and worry, it brings up a sense of not feeling safe. And that it's a negative feedback loop. When we don't feel safe, then we can't relax. We cannot stabilize. We cannot really ground on anything that makes us feel stable. So what I'm bringing this up, and I know it, you know, we've talked about it before. So I apologize if this seems like a repeat to you, but it just feels like it bears mentioning. Because it helps us to witness these states, it helps us to be able to see them and to remember that this is not who we are. We are not the fear. We are not the worry. We are not the chaos. We are not the anger. We're not the uncertainty. We're not all of this shouting and all this stuff that's going on. We are the pure awareness. We are the love. We are the light. And all of this stuff is passing through us in this virtual reality called life on planet Earth. So it's so important to remember this, and that when we're slipping down into that morass and we're living from the place of feeling not safe and feeling fear and worry, it actually blocks our ability to love. It's an either or. We can either be in the worry and the fear and the feelings of not being safe, or we can be feeling love and practicing love. So it's an inverse equation. So I bring this up because, as we know, it's the love that we all want to be in. It's the love that is who we truly are. And it's the love that will change the world. And it's the love that is the truth. It is the truth of who we are, and it is the truth of life. So anything else is blocking that love, all these downward spiral states. So I guess I'm naming them just to as a reminder for all of us to just be in what we call the witness. And I'm not going to, since all of us pretty much on, that are on the call have been with Core Light for such a long time, you know what the witness is. And this is a fantastic time to be practicing the witness, as you know. And through our witnessing, to just release all the negativity, let it pass through you, and allow yourself to feel the love. Pull your any spiritual tool out of your toolkit that you need to process this morass that is all around us. It's definitely in the collective. So I could go on, but I feel like that's enough. I feel like we all know what this is about. We've talked about it so many times, but I'm giving it a mention. I'm just reminding everybody that, you know, this is our time. We incarnated for this particular time. We knew it would be challenging. We knew that we were going to be being given this opportunity to hold the core, to hold the witness, and to let all of this stuff pass through. So I wish you luck with that. Maybe in the questions and sharing time, you can speak about how you're doing with this. I'd love to hear, and I know Leslie would too. We'd love to hear how you are, how you're doing with this challenge. It is the greatest challenge of our time. And it is the greatest opportunity of our time as well, because it's our opportunity to awaken to who we truly are, which is the love. And it's what Leslie used to call grounding on the core, learning to ground on the core. If we're grounding on the things of the world, whether it's a house and money, relationship, etc., job, you know, all of this, the body. If we're grounding on those things, well, during chaotic times, it's going to be very hard to feel grounded. And if we want to fully wake up, we really need to learn to ground on the core. And it can be as simple as in meditation, like we did today, just put your awareness on the Sushumna. We can all do it right now, even if you're multitasking. Can just put your awareness on the central core, the central meridian, and just hold it. And that's enough to put you into the witness, and it grounds you on the core. So I know, as I said, most of us on the call have been around for a long time, and you remember the 60-second serenity practice. That's also on our website if you've forgotten it, but that's a great tool. And it's on the resources tab, free resources, 60-second serenity practice. You can do it anywhere. You can do it in the grocery store, the car, in the bathtub. And it really works. It really helps. In 60 seconds, you can get yourself into the core, grounding on the core, not grounding on the things of the world. So I guess this also segues a little bit into talking a little bit about the holidays. And it just feels like such an important topic, because here we are, and you know, the holidays are so many different things to everybody, right? I mean, for some people, they're torture. For some people, it's a hell world, because we have traumatic memories from childhood about it, or it's just stressful and we wish it were over, or we have to visit with family and there are all these people we really don't want to be around, or whatever it is. But, and for many others, it's ecstatic. It's just so much fun. It's an opportunity to enjoy and feel the joy and feel the love, to participate in the celebration and the sacred quality of this time. So for others, you know, there's just so much stress that it's impossible to really enjoy the holidays. It takes weeks afterwards to actually return to normal. So I guess what I wanted to talk about was a sense of being a mystic, as Leslie used to call us, mystic warriors, right? Being a mystic at this time of the holidays. And again, I know this is a reminder for many of us, but it's so great to go over. I love talking about it, and I hope you do too. The vital piece to remember as a mystic in the holidays is to take alone time when you need it, to find some time to be alone amidst the busyness, and to de-stress. And that may mean saying no if you need to. If you need to say no to a party or a gathering or whatever, if you need to say no to some friends or family, do that so that you can have the alone time and the de-stressing time that you need. It may mean that it's time to change traditions a little bit, where you give yourself more time for yourself and do self-care. And I remember when I first met Leslie, gosh, I think it was 1991 we met, and it was the first time I'd ever spent Christmas alone. I had always wanted to do that. I loved being with my family and friends, but as I started the spiritual journey, I had this craving to be alone and to meditate. And I thought, what would it be like to meditate through Christmas, to meditate through New Year's, to meditate through the solstice, you know, through these times where there's so many parties and gatherings. And I remember it really required saying a lot of no's and actually coming up against a lot of resistance from friends and family, people thinking I was strange. You know, who wants to be alone at the holidays? But the truth is that it was such a great experience. So I remember I spent that first Christmas alone in meditation, and Leslie's told many stories of when she did that. And it's profound. So if you have that opportunity, if you're one of the unique ones who has the opportunity to spend the holidays alone, use it. It's an ideal time to be in meditation. Meditate as much as you possibly can. And for me, what I know about that is it gives an opportunity to witness more, to be practicing the witness more when we're doing this, spending more time in meditation and being alone. And in essence, I think what happens when we do that is it's less about participating in the celebration and more about witnessing the celebration. And it doesn't mean that you can't actually participate, you know, go to the parties, do the gift giving, do the whole traditional thing. But if you're spending at least some time alone in meditation, it gives you that stronger witness so that when you are in the gatherings, you can be in it, but not of it. And it allows you to really be able to hold the core, to ground in the core throughout all of the materialism and consumerism and the stress and so forth. The other thing that's so wonderful about this time of year, if you can practice the alone time, is feeling the collective energy. And I don't know, Leslie talked about this when we first started gathering with her. She stopped talking about it after a while, so you may not have heard her talk about it. She used to talk about how feeling, attuning every day as December rolls in, and feeling, when does the Christ energy come in? That, to me, is a great exercise. If you want to practice that exercise, I encourage you. It's basically when you're in meditation every day, tune in, and there's a moment. You'll feel there's a moment where the Christ energy actually descends onto the planet. And it doesn't even necessarily have to do with Christianity or Jesus or Christmas itself. It's the Christ energy, the energy of enlightenment, the energy of the golden white light, and it comes in at this time. So it's a great opportunity to tune in and feel. Sometimes it comes in right towards the end, right before Christmas or right before Hanukkah or right before the solstice. And other times it comes in a bit earlier. I haven't had a chance to actually tune in this year. I haven't been practicing this myself. Maybe you have. Maybe you can feel if it's here or not. But it's a beautiful, beautiful sense of the oneness of the unity and the Christ light coming into the body, into the collective mind. The other collective process to tune in on that's also very important to witness is the revving and the stress. You know, people get so wound up at the holidays, you know, putting up decorations, buying gifts. This is especially in the Northern Hemisphere and especially in America. I know it's true for much of Europe too, but especially in America. I don't know about Canada, but the epicenter, I think, is America, where people are just revving. And it's like, you know, high speed stress to get everything done so you can finally relax. Enjoy the holidays. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And so I invite you to witness that revving, whatever you want to call it. It's an energy of stress and pushing and going very, very fast to try to get everything done. And the truth is, it's the antithesis of the mystic Christmas, the mystic holidays, the mystic opportunity that we have to actually feel ourselves, to actually discover who we are. So anyway, before I go on, the last thing that we can all practice feeling in the collective is there's a collective letdown that happens on December 26th. And it's after all the revving, you know, it's after all the gifts have been opened, and then suddenly there's this crash. And on December 26th, people realize that they're not as fulfilled as they thought they would be after Christmas from all the materialism and gift giving and parties and what have you. And so there's this kind of crashing that happens on the 26th. So it's important. These are just examples. You can tune in yourself to feel the collective and feel what you feel. But, this is part of the mystic Christmas, is feeling those energies and witnessing them, letting them pass through you, not participating in them. And then I would also say, it's so wonderful to participate in the celebrations if that's what you feel called to do. You know, we all have, many of us have big family gatherings or gatherings with friends and so forth. And you know, there's all the, you see the Christmas cards and the signs that say peace, love, and joy. Well, the truth is that that's what it's about. And if we take a moment to stop and ponder the peace and the love and the joy inside of us, which often requires us to be in meditation, to be alone, you know, to be in a witness state where we're quiet and we can actually feel those things and then we can embody them and we can share them with others. But that's the essence of what the holidays are about, are peace, love, and joy. And so to really feel those, to really practice those, is part of the wonder, part of the mystic holiday time. The other qualities of the heart that are wonderful to practice are, of course, generosity. You know, this is a time of gift giving, so practicing giving and generosity. We talked about family, community. That's also part of the new paradigm of the heart, is being amongst friends and family and connecting in the heart. Beauty, right? All the beautiful little decorations and lights and glitter and all the sparkly things, right? It's just everything's beautiful. So being in the beauty, being in gratitude, being in the feeling of just being so thankful to be alive, to have a body, to experience this earth. Laughter, music, humor, good food, all these celebratory things. This is a wonderful time to experience these things. And if you're not able to do it, I know I'm not trying to be a joy Nazi. You know, if you're somebody who is going through a really hard time and you just need to feel what you're feeling, if you might be in grief or some kind of shadow process, then you just need to be with that. And that's fine too. It's all, you know, it's whatever's happening for you that's true. And yet I know that this is a great opportunity to feel those higher states, those qualities of the heart. And ultimately, I think, you know, it's the most critical thing is to remember that this time is about the birthing of the Christ consciousness within us. It's about knowing who we truly are. It's about knowing that we're made of love, that we are the love, practicing that love, living the karma of love, putting love out all the time so we get love back. And this is the truth of how we find what Leslie called the peace that passes all understanding. That's how we find that state. And it's how we can live in the spirit of these, you know, quote unquote, holy days, is being in that place, practicing the love. So there's also, it's not just Christmas, but it's solstice and New Year's, and there's also, I learned that there's a new moon and a partial eclipse on Christmas. So I think this Christmas is going to be a pretty special astrological configuration. There'll be a special power that day. And so much of this time is about, like I said, about the birth and about renewal and about feeling the energy of the new year coming in. And that's another one of the exercises we can do as we're practicing feeling, is we can attune what are the new energies of the new year that are coming in. And we can take time in meditation to attune to that. They're out there. You just ask inwardly, you say, I want to feel what's coming. What is this year about? And you can feel it. You'll be shown. I know for me personally, when I've done that lately and tuned in to what's coming, what I get, and we can talk about this as well if you want to share what you see in the sharing period, which is coming up here. What I'm feeling is that there's going to be a continuation of this intensity and acceleration. That is not going away. It's been with us for a very long time, and that's going to continue. I also feel like there's going to be much more of a focus on the extremes of weather. That feels like it's accelerating as well, and the unpredictability of that, of climate change. It just feels like that's accelerating as well, and we're going to be focusing on that more in the coming year. And the other thing that feels like it's coming this year is a focus on government and the change that needs to happen in how we think of government, what it is, what it needs to be. We've got a big election coming up in the United States. I don't want to spoil our conversation. I'm talking about it. See, seems like whenever we talk about politics, it's contentious and it just is a downer. So let's not, we don't have to talk about that today, but that's what's coming. You know, we're going to be in it. And so I think it's just important to acknowledge, you know, and recognize that we've got an intense year coming up. And again, you know, it's not just intensity, but it's also this beautiful opportunity. It's such an exquisite time. It's, as I've said before, this is the time when we are going to thrive. It's the spiritual seekers, the people who've been on a path, who are stepping into our spiritual power. This is the time we were made for. We're going to be asked to step forward and help other people. We're going to be living our highest dharmas. We're going to be stepping into why we incarnated, why we're here as souls. This is it. We get to show up now. We get to practice all the spiritual teachings, all the tools, all the things we've been putting in our backpack, our spiritual backpack. We get to use them now and share them with others. So it's a beautiful time for us. So it's a time, I guess, let me close. I've been talking for a long time and I want to open up the microphone, but I just also want to say it's a great time to take stock. So much has happened in the last year. 2019 was a huge year. For me personally, for CoreLight, for most people I know, it's just been a massive year. There's so much that's gone on. So one of the exercises that I would invite you to do, Leslie and I do this every year, is take stock of what happened this year. Make a list. Do a journal entry. Write what you experienced, how you changed, what you accomplished, who you've become. Write the list out. Acknowledge what happened. It's important to take stock and then be inspired by it. Be inspired by the change that we've gone through. It's been massive. So this is an important exercise. And not only that, but when we've taken stock of it and we've written it all down, I like to offer it to the fire, to give it back. Let it go, release it, you know, it's done, we acknowledge it, we celebrate it, and then we let it go. And then the next step in the exercise is to do the visioning for 2020, to vision the year ahead and to see what's coming for us personally and maybe what's coming for collective as well, depending on, you know, if you're capable of that, if that's something you know how to do. So give it a try. We've always found it powerful. And also, it's a time of resolutions. And I just wanted to recommend to everybody to re-listen to Leslie's audio impeccability. Her audio of impeccability is such a fantastic summary of what we could all be making our New Year's resolutions about. It's right. It's if you remember that audio, it's about self-care. It's about decluttering your home, decluttering your office. It's a physical decluttering. It's a mental decluttering. It's an emotional decluttering. It's a way of streamlining your life. It's a lot about letting go of extraneous emotions like worry and fear. It's about getting your relationships and your finances in order. It's about becoming more surrendered, more flexible with life, and having faith, all the important things of life that prepare us for what's ahead, for challenging times. And when we practice impeccability, it really prepares us in ways that are conscious and helps us to ground on the core rather than ground on life, on the physical material life. So, okay, I think that's good for now. So, Barbara, are you there?
I am here, Brad. That was so wonderful. I've been very busily writing everything down. It's just been so wonderful. And so much of what each wanting and needing to hear right now.
So well, thank you, Barbara. I was feeling, as I was thinking about what to talk about today, I thought, you know, this is such a reminder for everybody. But yeah, you know, I was so excited when I started thinking about it because it is. It's like it's what we need. It's what's happening right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, and it's our bid for power.
Hmm.
That Leslie talks about all of the that you've shared about impeccability and, you know, cleaning out our closets and cleaning out our inner clutter as well. You know, this is, as you said, you know, what we came here for.
That's
and
it.
That we can really come together in this way. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah. It's fun.
You know, and you can really feel the razor's edge of the intensity and the profundity of where we are at in this moment.
So, Barbara, why don't you share for a minute, what are you experiencing with the holidays right now? What are you feeling?
You know, I was telling you earlier, Brad, that this has been such an exquisitely sweet and magical time. You know, you were talking about the challenges and the intensity of, you know, shopping and decorating and getting everything done so that we could relax, you know, and enjoy our friends and family. And what I'm finding is that I'm relaxing and enjoying in the moment of wherever and whatever is happening. We've decorated our house beautifully. I took time. I was present. I was in meditation as I was decorating, filling the house with love. As many of you know, I've got a little under 5-pound chihuahua, and she's a service dog, so I can take her with me anywhere. And as we've been going shopping wherever, you know, I'm just so present with all the people that come up and want to have a conversation, not with me, with her. And we were at a department store, tons and tons and tons of people, and the cashiers, you know, working really, really hard. And this one woman, cashier, had some kind of a stick with a hand on it, and she was waving the hand to let us know that, you know, we could come to her register. And she looked miserable. She was just so upset and angry. And, you know, we were like, oh dear. And as soon as we came up there, I said, there's someone here who would like to say hello to you. And I put the dog on the counter, and her whole face lit up.
Aww.
It was so sweet and so precious. And, you know, I think that, you know, we have a choice. We each have a choice, and it's really about, you know, being present in the moment with what is. So I'm finding it very magical, very, very mystical, and I hope that many of the rest of us are as well. And not to say that there isn't a lot of intensity, as you shared, but, you know, we can choose.
Well, that's it, Barbara. You know, your example is fantastic because when you did that little act of giving her the dog and cheering her up, that was your act of service. It was your generosity. It was your giving. You were thinking about how to cheer up, how to brighten her day.
Yeah.
And that little act of kindness, you know, whether it's what you did or giving a dollar to a homeless person or a sandwich to a homeless person or donating to some cause or whatever it is. I mean, that's what makes people feel happy. And it's spreading the joy. So important,
it
right? Especially at this time of year.
Yes.
We need to be practicing these things.
Yes, we do, Brad. And people really want to be heard and really want to be seen. And I find that so many people come up to me and they'll share with me about their dog or, you know, their pet that's passed away. And it's just taking the moment to be present with them and to really see. It's been a true gift for me. Very, very sweet.
Beautiful. Well, would you like to, Barbara, do you want to share with people how to raise hands again? Just remind everybody.
Yes.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, please, everyone. It's *2 to raise your hand. And those of you on the web, if you'd like to write something in, I'll be happy to read it out for you. So we've got a couple of hands raised, and the first one is Serena. Serena, you have the mic.
Hi, this is Serena.
Hi, Serena. Yeah, we can. Hi. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh. It's so wonderful. I just feel like I'm right there. I have definitely been feeling the collective a lot and been definitely doing the very work that you're talking about. We actually moved from Tahoe down here to the Central Coast, and it'll be 2 years in April. And so we have a smaller house, and we knew we would have to get rid of a lot of stuff. And it's here, Tahoe has a vortex of energy that's very supportive. It has a very high energy. And here is wonderful by the ocean, but there's more people. It's been a very challenging time, I know, for everyone. For me, I can really see, I can identify, because I have been part of Corelight for a long time, and I'm always processing in one way or other, either writing it down or meditation. There's just so many ways to do that. And so I'm currently trying to work with a piece is about not taking things personally, what the difference is between being conscientious of others, but yet not taking on their energy. And I'm very much of an empath. And I know that I just want to feel more safe inside and more protected. I'm always thinking about, you know, increasing that golden white light that my mother would say, the Christ white light, and just push that light out, fill yourself with it. That I'm just in a place here where I don't have my tribe like I do in Tahoe for years, and it's hard to make deep friendships here. You can't really in that short amount of time, I guess, but I'll just try to make it simple, just that I really want to feel protected from some of that intensity. And I've been crying a lot because my mom passed away in 2017, just before we moved down here. And that was, I have a sense that maybe I'm still grieving with that. I do a lot of crying, and I'm not trying to cry, but I mean, it's just there a lot. And anger has shown up to try to protect me. And I'm just going, no, we just need to let this pass through. So it's probably already been answered by what you've said, but I'm just wanted to connect this way with both of you on what you think about this and how you take care of yourself when you're in an environment. And there's been a problem with I am a yoga instructor and I do massage, and it's been very challenging because the market is saturated. So I haven't been able to really make my finances work very well at this point. And having to teach myself technical things that I'm not used to at all, website, Facebook, and all of that. So I've been overwhelmed. And I wake up early morning and I meditate. And I do my kriyas, and I have Leslie's picture there, and I feel her, definitely. I'm going to stop now and just hear what you have to say.
Well, thank you, Serena. First of all, I just want to say my heart is with you. My compassion is with you. Many of us on the call knew your mother and loved her well, and so I'm sure what you're going through is very hard, and you have my condolences for your loss, and I really honor you for going through that time of grief. So it's so important, you know, when you're grieving a major loss, like the loss of your mother, and also, you know, you're grieving another loss, which is the loss of the life you had in your old home. So you're going through some major, major changes. And so I feel like it's so important. Yeah, and especially as an empath. Right. Most of us on these calls are empaths, and, you know, we're so sensitive that really it's so important as an empath that when you're going through that time, you really allow your heart to have its due. If it needs to cry, you let it cry. If it needs to be angry, you just let it be angry for a little while, remembering to witness it, you know, and let it go. But to just let yourself feel what you need to feel. That's really the most important thing you can do, is just allow it. And it sounds like you're doing that, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I would also say one of the most important things that you can do as an empath, especially going through the massive changes that you're going through, is find the balance between your care of others and your care of yourself. So finding the time for self-care, right? We've talked about this on many of the calls. Self-care is so critical right now. We talked about it recently this is how I look at it. It's as though what we're going through on the planet right now is so intense and so accelerated that we have to practice self-care as though we were a long-distance runner. We need to prepare for endurance. So, like, if you just need to take a few days to just care for yourself, then you do that. You give yourself, get the massage, get the extra sleep, do the yoga, go into nature, meditate more, whatever it is you need to care for yourself, you've got to do that. So important. Because we're in this for the long haul, you know. This is not going to be over quickly. So as the vanguard of spiritual seekers who are really pioneering some massive change on the planet, we need to be prepared for endurance. And what it means is care for yourself. So how are you coping with that? Are you managing to have time for self-care?
I am. I get caught up in, you know, having to make sure I make enough money to pay my bills and, you know, I get caught up in that sort of thing. And I don't know if it's because I'm a Libra or what, maybe it's everybody feels this way. I like to have my home in order, and it can't be completely in order because we're letting go of things, and sometimes my house is going to be messy then in that case, because I only have so much energy. And so getting myself in the car and going by the bluffs is really a great thing, by the ocean. And just, I almost have to tear myself away from my roles and go there. And that really helps me come back. But as soon as I come back in this house and we have the option. We can go back to Tahoe, and we're thinking of going back. It'll be 2 years in April, but we're thinking of going back in November. And we came down here to specifically be near my grandson and his girlfriend and my son, and that's wonderful. And it's just, that's a nice to know that I have that option. But I'm here right now, and I know intuitively that this is a spiritual initiation, definitely. And without my mother, I could call her. We were best friends too.
Yes, and Serena, Serena, I am feeling your mother so strongly right now. Serena's mother's name is Patra. And we're saying hello and acknowledging Patra. And the veils are so thin. And there really isn't any separation except for what we make it. She is surrounding you in so much love and light, and especially at this holiday season. So see if it would be okay to just be and let her hold you through this challenging time of, you know, overwhelm and uncertainty, as Brad was talking about earlier. And let the tears come and see if it would be okay to give a voice to those parts of you that are so in such grief and such anger. I would suggest that you maybe talk with someone, or if that's not possible for you right now, that you write, that you journal and write about your grief and write about your loss and write about your anger, so that those parts can have a voice and to know
truly afraid of the angry.
That we're
and
not
this is important.
Yeah. We're not any of those parts.
Okay.
We're so much greater than that, that we can hold them all. We can hold and love those parts.
Even the parts that seem so angry that it wants to go and break
That's
things
right.
and cause destruction.
That's right.
So angry.
They need love as much or more than any of the other parts. That they have a right to be here, and they have something to say. They have something to share, or they wouldn't be here. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what to say, Barbara. I'm sorry.
It's okay, sweetie. You just feel those feelings, and we're all holding you. There are many of us on this call and who are listening who have lost loved ones, who have moved, who have felt lost. And so we can relate. We're holding you and we're loving you through this time.
Thank you.
And as Brad said, see if it would be okay to do things that take care of you. So we love you, Serena. We love your mom.
Yeah, thank you.
If there's ever a time you want to talk, we're here for you.
Okay, and I'll probably end up calling you up. And
you have my number, Serena, anytime.
I got your number.
Lots of love to you, sweetie. Lots of love,
honey.
Thank you
so much. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I used to get, when I could call my mother, and she would instantly say just a few things, and I would totally get back on track. And then
there you go.
And I've been calling to her in the other realms, and I know she's there. There's, when you were talking to me, there's a tree that I have, a ficus tree that's probably like almost 20 years old, and I'm standing in front of it, and she was the tree. She's in the tree.
She felt her.
I feel her
so strongly. I have goosebumps all over my body, and she's saying, so bring that feeling in that you used to have when you talked to me. It's right here.
Okay.
It's never gone. Bring it right
okay.
back.
Okay. Thank
Love
you,
you
so
Serena.
Much. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Serena. Love you.
That was beautiful.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, the next hand raised is Chris. Chris, you have the mic.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Brad, Barbara.
Hey, Chris.
Hey. I want to thank Serena for having the courage to be vulnerable and to say what I think a lot of us are feeling, both personally and also collectively. It's been a really rough year on my end, too. I'm feeling like I'm really coming out of a rough patch. That kind of overwhelm is not permanent. You know, that feeling of overwhelm is not permanent. And I have to say, I hope it's okay. I go out on a limb here, but as Serena was talking, the second she said, you know, we moved from Tahoe to the Central Coast, and I'm a Californian, and I know the whole state really well. I had a really strong, strong hit that Tahoe was the place to be, and take it for what it's worth. But when she said that that there is an option to go back there, I felt strongly that was definitely something to consider very much.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like she already is. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there for whatever it's worth.
Thank you.
And I also, even before Serena got on the line, I was thinking about how do we kind of take a lot of this pain that we're carrying and work with it in a way that's fruitful. And one of the things that I found really powerful is a Buddhist meditation practice called Tonglen. Some of you may on the call may already know about this practice, and Tonglen is a Tibetan word that means sending forth and receiving. And the way that it's often taught by popular teachers, you'll often read like Pema Chodron and other sort of popular writers talk about breathing in the sticky clouds of dark clouds of suffering and taking it in on your inhale, and then transmuting that into spacious light of your own compassion and sending it back out into the world. And I felt like, okay, so I used to practice this, and it used to make me nauseous when I would do this. And I went to my teacher and I said, why do I keep feeling sick whenever he said, oh, you're doing it right. And I thought, okay. So I didn't practice that again for probably about 15 years. It turned me off.
So wait, He said you're doing it right. I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly.
He said you're doing it right.
Oh, dear.
If you're feeling sick, you're doing it right. And he was a wonderful, wonderful Buddhist teacher. But for me, that kind of turned me off a bit. And many years later, I was studying the Lojong trainings in Buddhism, or the 7-point mind training teachings, where this practice is introduced. And the preliminary practice says, oh, you first have to be able to bear your own suffering before you can take on the suffering of the world. And that was around the time I was separating from my ex-wife of 23 years. We began the separation. It was very difficult. But I began to revisit that practice, only being able to practice by extending compassion to my own grief first.
Yes.
Before taking on all the problems of the world, and being able to consciously tell myself, you know, may any and all energy that does not belong to me be gone from my space. That became a mantra for me. May any and all energy that does not belong to me be gone from my space, so that I really claimed my place in my practice without all of the collective and all the other stuff being in there. And then I could actually breathe in my own feeling of grieving and allow it just to abide, and then remind myself others too feel this feeling, that I'm part of a community of people who all know what this feeling feels like. And then there's a visual that goes with it. I won't go into the rest of the practice, but what I found important was that the rawness of the feeling, it was okay to sit with the rawness of the feeling while disentangling it from the narrative that keeps that feeling so much suffering. And that's a practice I've done ever since. Whenever I feel overwhelmed and so on, it's helped me feel more resilient with things when they come up. It's to say, okay, I feel this feeling, whether it's anger or grief. You know, I'm still in some ways grieving the loss of that marriage. I still love my ex-wife. But it's really helpful to say, okay, I breathe in and I receive this emotion, this feeling, and I extend compassion to it, because not all of me is overwhelmed by this emotion. So here is this, I bring neutral witness, I bring compassion, and surround this feeling with that quality, and then extend it out to all others who feel this feeling. And it's been helpful, I guess, to sort of catalyze the energy of something like anger and use it as an energy rather, and when it's sort of disentangled from the narrative, from the story and the self-talk and the cognitive piece, you know, but just be able to say, okay, anger, it's a very strong energizing quality too, but it has to be kind of held in its rawness. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. You're talking, I mean, essentially you're talking about witnessing, right? I mean, that's a...
Right.
Yes.
It's an aspect of witnessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And just in my own kind of experience, the resistance, Brad, you were talking about the mystic and how there are times where there can be a resistance to the mystic, almost a mistrust. And it's been important for me to kind of be able to see that when it comes, for what it is, which is just being caught up in the momentum and the disconnect. But the mystic is really an ally, a very powerful ally that is always there, I think. And so following your lead, Brad, I am going to do solitude over Christmas.
Oh, nice.
So I was already talking about that. My roommate will be away, and my girlfriend is on another continent throughout the holidays, and I thought this is a perfect time to have that space. It's so important. Do some fasting and sort of capitalize, I guess, on the momentum that I've started to reclaim a bit. So the last thing I'll say, and then I'll hang up, but is that I really wanted to thank you, Brad, for the meditation at the start. That was just amazing, really magnificent. it was really what I needed. And as you were describing the quality of wind, I think there was something about letting the wind kind of move through you. There was a strong wind hitting the building. And it was also sunny. And I thought, man, Brad is really, he's getting powerful, man. The wind is hitting my building all the way up here in Boston.
Wow.
I was like, is that you, Brad, knocking at the window? Anyway,
that's funny.
It was.
I think it was Leslie. I think that was Leslie blowing shock to your wind.
And it was full of light too. The sunlight opened up.
Yeah, exactly.
Clouds. But, so I wanted to thank you for that meditation, and it's just really precious to be with you all. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris. It's wonderful
thank
that
you,
you're
Chris.
Here. I love
thank
when.
You.
Love when you share, and I just want to mention while Chris is on the phone that Chris is going to be helping to organize a fundraiser for Seeds of Light in Boston on September 12th of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So if Chris is a musician. He has a band, and he does fundraising concerts for nonprofits, for his beloved
mm-hmm.
nonprofits, and Seeds of Light is one of them. So we're very
How
blessed
divine.
And very excited. Yeah. So I'll be there, and you're all invited. So put September 12th on your calendar and come to Boston and join us. We'd love to have you there.
Yeah. It'll be lovely. And anybody who wants a tour of Harvard, I also teach at Harvard Divinity School, and I'm happy to give tours of the campus. And we'll have a new album out by then as well, our second album. So anybody who'd like to hear I didn't get on the call planning to make a pitch, but.
Well, we want to hear. Tell us your website and tell us the name of the album
sure.
that we can get.
Yeah. So the group is called Satigata, Satigata. It means, it's a Pali word for progressing into mindfulness. And we do chanting set to kind of more popular modern folk rock music using bells and singing bowls and all kinds of instruments. So it's a kind of eclectic sound. A lot of it is, you know, we draw a lot on Buddhist chanting. We also have written a lot of our own. So I'm a student of Sanskrit. So I've actually written several of my own chants that are all designed for a community experience, almost like a liturgical musical experience. So and it's going really, really well. We're building a recording studio now in our home. I live with my music partner here. And so, if you're interested, you can look at satigata.com. And we also have a YouTube channel. If you go on to Satigata Music on YouTube, you can get onto our page and then click on videos. And there's a whole sort of range of videos from our live performances here in the Boston area. So. Yeah, if
and
you want to portray.
Is it Satigata?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, perfect.
Beautiful.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you for that opportunity. That's wonderful. And
what's the name of the album that you just released? An album that has one of Leslie's pieces of art on the cover, right?
Yes. Well, that's the album that's coming out next year. That will be called The Heart of Refuge. And Leslie and Brad, you all have been so utterly generous and kind to allow me to use the golden orb painting as part of the album cover. And so that everybody who has seen, you know, has sort of seen a preview of it, just is mesmerized by the artwork. So, yeah,
nice.
That was a real blessing for us,
good.
A real gift.
I'm so glad.
Very exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Also, creative expression and music, writing, anything that we can do, I think, in this day and age to get out of the discursive mind and just come into a place of creative expression is,
yes.
you know, it's really, really divine on its own.
Yeah.
So my love to all of you, deep, deep love to all of you, and I wish everyone well.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. Beautiful sharing.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have a couple of write-ups on the web. So let's see. Libby says, Barbara, my heart is smiling. Thank you for sharing with us the magic at the, she said the supermarket. It was actually the department store, but yes, I love this. Woof, woof. Thank you, Libby. Okay, and Dale is giving the link to the
Libby is
60
in, second. Libby is in Libby is in Scotland right now, I believe.
Correct.
Love to you, Libby.
Correct. Lots of love to you, Libby. And Dale is giving a link to the 60-second serenity practice if anybody needs it. But I think you can just go right on the website. And
if you go to our website, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, it was just that it's www.corelight.org/60-second-serenity-practice. And there's hyphens between each of the words, 60-second-serenity-practice/. That's the link.
It's also easy to find if you click on free resources tab.
Yeah. And Lynn is sending Serena her love. And Nikki is saying, it is a time to make friends with the unknown. Every moment this comes into consciousness, you do not know how the best outcome for all concerned looks. Open to the possibilities. When my family, and in parentheses she says child and grandchild, moved to Hawaii, I thought it was overwhelming, and it turned out that it was such a gift, as I was then forced into myself and self-care. Beautiful,
yeah,
Nikki.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you for that. Yeah, and Brett, I know we're getting close to end here. We've got a couple more hands, so just, you know, as we call on you, if you could just keep it as concise as possible. Do we have time to take a couple more hands, Brad?
Let's do two hands, and we'll call it quits after the two hands. Thank you.
Okay, great. So the next hand raised is Susan. Susan, you have the mic.
Hi, this is for Serena. I also lost my mom in 2017.
Oh, wow.
And the continuing grief I found for myself was trying to point me to some incidences where I didn't see it as trauma on an intellectual level, but the emotional body saw it as trauma. And it was calling for my attention to look at it. And so I found a couple of frozen children that needed attention and relief.
Yes, yes.
And your parents wait around. I found this out as long as necessary.
Yeah.
Because I found my father, who died many years ago in, like, 93.
Uh-huh.
Had been waiting in my field this whole time. And I finally brought my mother and my father, resolved all this, everything that was frozen to rest. It almost looked like DNA combined in me when they combined in me, went up and out the Shishumna. So, I have empathy for you. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Oh. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for being vulnerable enough to share that with us. Beautiful.
And how they wait in our field, Susan. They just wait until we're ready. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yes, and it's so profound what you just said, Susan. And it doesn't matter how long ago our family members passed. My mother passed in 1988, and my father passed in 2006. And they're always with us. I find almost every day some reference. I just feel them so close and so loving. So thank you for sharing that, Susan, and I hope that helps you, Serena. Beautiful. Okay, and we have one more hand, and I'm guessing that it's June. But Tom, come on and surprise me. You have the mic.
It's June.
Hey, June.
Hello. I wanted to speak about, well, first of all, Serena, you just touched my heart. And the thing that I can offer is there's a place in you that has not forgiven yourself for something that has to do with all of this. And whether you thought you made the wrong decision or I have no idea what it is, but I could just feel it. And I feel it because that's what I found in myself this year. All these spots where I have not forgiven myself. And I have a few more to go. But when I have been able to address that, things in my life have changed for me in ways I never thought that they would. So I offer that. The other thing that I offer is that I discovered a secret about worry. And when you break it down, when you look at it, worry has absolutely no use. It doesn't help the person who's doing it. It doesn't help the person or situation it's about. There's just no purpose for it. And for me and how my brain works, it was like, when I finally got that, it was like, well, that really is just a waste of my time. Because it's not going to change anything. It's not going to alter anything in any way, positive or negative. It won't do anything. And I find myself this year with a lot less worry because they're not things that I can address. Because if they are, well, then I got the tools. I got the tools that I can address them. So you process what you can do and know and name, and the other things then become amazingly easy to let go because there is nothing to hold on to. And that is, it's been a huge awareness and a huge blessing this year. That's one of the biggest things that I learned this year. And in fact, when I had this epiphany, I called Barbara. I was on the road, and I was just like, what just happened? And so I've been working with that. And when I find myself in a situation and I'm spinning about, you know, whatever it is, and I like, oh, is this my old friend worry? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's nothing I can do about that. So
wow.
Then it's like,
congratulations,
okay.
Jen. That's huge.
Thank
That's
you.
Huge.
It is. And I can personally attest to the huge amount of work and growth that June has done. And so I just bow to you, June, and acknowledge all the hard work and the nitty-gritty. It has not been an easy journey, I know, not for so many of us on this. And, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
There is a light, and the thing is sometimes that light can go off again, but then
mm-hmm.
again, you have the tools.
Yes.
It's like,
right.
Oh, I just switch it back on, or, oh, mm-hmm. the battery died. Okay, time to recharge the battery. You know, and it's just
yes.
when you
yes.
just down to that simple core instead of trying to just jump into the spin of it. Because we all know where that leads, and it's
yes.
nowhere happy. So it's just, there's a way that, you know, you can really sort of jump into yourself.
Mm.
And so I offer that. I also, with this season, I know that people can spin and get all involved or whatever, and I just offer some balance, that some time alone and some time where, you know, you look into it and you think, okay, that feels good. We went to an event last night. It was the men's choir, the Seattle men's choir, and it was absolutely so much fun. And and the whole audience gets involved. And so here's this group of strangers that are come together in song and in spirit, and it's just it's so fun and so uplifting, you know. So you find those things that speak to that. And so, you know, Tom and I have learned over many years that we, as soon as the season begins, in order to embrace the season and not be controlled by the season, is, you know, find areas where we want to be involved. Have events. Have, you know, if we, you know, we choose things that uplift and bring joy, you know, whether it's through, you know, some sort of sacred music, or whether it's just pure laughter. And so, but you just have to, allow yourself to have that rather than slip down into the worry of it.
Beautiful. Oh, beautiful, June. Yeah, and if you're laughing and you're in joy, you cannot be in worry, right?
Nope. Yeah. It's not physically possible.
No, you're either in joy or worry, but not both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it feels like there's space being made for the joy. The worry has, you know, so consumed us, and not just you, June. I mean, I think everyone on the call can relate to what you're sharing. And it has so consumed us, and we're now starting to, through the tools, make space for joy. And I really also want to acknowledge something you said that is truly profound, and that is that there was a place, you know, where you found that you hadn't forgiven yourself, that the anger was covering over, the grief was covering over this place of our inability to forgive ourselves. And it's so underlying all of our core wounding. And I think it's so important to mention and acknowledge, because when we are unable to acknowledge that, we go into victim and identify with victim. So the self-forgiveness piece is just huge. And, you know, I'm hearing in this holiday season, Christ on the cross saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And to say that to ourselves, to all those parts, that forgiveness of, to all those parts that did, you know, the best they knew how in the moment.
Exactly.
Very,
you know,
yes, very important. Beautiful June. Yay, June.
I have this thing, my last, is I have this thing on my desk, and I don't remember who the author is, but it's just, it's these little pull tab notes that I found. And it says, never postpone joy.
Ooh.
Oh, beautiful.
Lovely.
And, yeah.
Love it.
Especially in America, we have a tendency to do that. Or, oh, well, when I'm this age, I'll do that. Or when I'm that, you know, instead of when the joy presents itself, to embrace it. So,
beautiful.
Embracing the joy.
Yay. Love you, June.
Yeah, I have a. Thank you,
love
June.
You both.
I have a new protocol that I use along the same lines. If I have to make a decision, I hold it against my heart and I say, "Is this going to bring joy?" And if I get a yes, then it's a yes. And if I get a no, then it's a no.
Yep, that's perfect barometer.
It's like joy is the new north, right? We can trust it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love that, Brad.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing, June. Powerful sharing.
Thanks,
thank
June.
You so much. It's a great note to close out on.
Yes. Beautiful, and much love to you and Tom. And could I just read one thing really quickly, Brad, before we wrap up? I know we're a little late, but this is so synchronistic with all that's been going on. And Nikki shared, you know, it's a time to make friends with the unknown. I read that earlier. Every moment this comes into consciousness. And she wrote in another entry, and she said, please tell Serena that I am on the Central Coast, and she is welcome to contact me here.
Wow.
And so, Nikki, I'm not going to say your email on the phone call, but I will contact Serena with your email and have her contact you. So I just wanted to say thank you to Nikki for that. And isn't that just so beautiful?
Very sweet. Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, listen, thank you. We're up. We're at the end now. And I would like to close out with just a one-minute prayer, if we could, just to wrap things up. But, Barbara, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Anything you need to say before we close out?
Just please feel that your angelic selves, the angelic aspects of the truth of who you are calling you home. And I would love for you to join me in the guided meditation on the 29th of December as we are all being called home. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much for your love and support of Core Light and these calls and for leading that guided meditation on the 29th. We're all really looking forward to it. Okay, and thank you, everybody, for your participation today. And so let's wrap up with just a quick 1 or 2 minute prayer meditation. So I invite you, if you're multitasking again, to stop just for a moment to enjoy this last moment together as a community. So please close your eyes, take a few long, deep breaths, and drop back into that place we were in the beginning of the call, where we're just aligned with our core. And so I invite you to feel that core of enlightenment within you, known as the Sushumna. It runs down along the front of the spine, and it looks like a tube of golden white light, like a fluorescent light bulb tube. But feel that core and hold it in your body. Hold your attention there. Hold it nice and straight. And it usually starts out very thin. And I'd like you to widen it. Widen it as much as you can, so maybe it becomes the size of a quarter in diameter. Can be like a string sometimes, it's so thin. But widen it out so it's a nice fat tube. And then widen it some more so it's maybe the size of a half dollar in diameter. If you're not from America, let's see. I don't know. Size of a lemon. And then widen it again so it's the diameter is as wide as a baseball or if you're not from America, a cricket ball. Make it wide anyway. Stretch it out. Make it wide and feel it running down the center of your body. Just tune into it. And let's say a prayer. We call on the Great Spirit. We call on all our guides and teachers and all the angels that surround us in the highest love and support. And we ask for your support, please, in helping us to ground on this core, to unhook our cords of grounding onto the material world. So let's visualize your grounding cords. They're like spaghetti. Usually they go out from the lower chakras, but they can go out from anywhere in your body. So just visualize all the cords going out that are grounding you on your house, your car, your money, your partner, your business, your children, your parents, whatever it is. Just visualize those spaghetti cords. And then if you feel ready to do this, unhook just take a pair of scissors and cut the spaghetti, or go to the end where it's hooked in and unhook it and bring it back into your body. And let those cords go into the core, so you're now grounding on the core. Let all that spaghetti merge with the core of your being, this beautiful tube of light inside you. And just be with this. Just when we get off the call, when we sign off, you can stay in meditation and just be with this and see if you're able to do that. See if your cords are still hooked into things of the material world. And if so, you can just set an intention, if you're ready, that you would like to be able to unhook those and ask for that to happen. You can come back and revisit this from time to time, this particular meditation. You can look at your spaghetti entanglements, your grounding cords, and see where they're grounding you and bring them back into the core. So with that, we close this circle for today, and we ask all of the guides and teachers and angels who surround us today, we ask for your continued support. Hold our hands as we go out into the world throughout the holidays, throughout this sacred time. We ask that you guide us into the highest love, the highest levels of joy. Help us to find the highest levels of peace. We're so deeply grateful for this time that we've shared today, for your support. We're so grateful for all that's happened in the past year, all the accomplishments, all the gifts we've received, all the changes we've made, for all that we've become. We're so deeply grateful. We ask that please help us to go into this new year radiating our light and our love and our peace and our joy in ever greater quantities, so that we may touch others with the light. And we're so deeply grateful for this opportunity to share the light and the love with the world. Deep, deep gratitude. Aho. So I thank you, everybody, once again. I send you many blessings. Leslie and I will sit in meditation for a few more minutes if you want to stay with us. And we love you. Just know how much we're thinking about you all the time, sending you so much love. And we look forward to seeing you on, I guess, December 29th with Barbara's meditation will be the next time. So all our love to you. Have a blessed, blessed holy day season. Bye for now.